Hello, it's Steve. We made it to the grand final. 26 countries will sing their hearts out at tonight's Eurovision Song Contest in Liverpool. Who will follow in the footsteps of Kalush Orchestra for Ukraine and win that trophy? You've got your favourites, haven't you? You know who you're giving your 12 points to. It is an incredible lineup. Over the last few months, we have got to know all these amazing artists as they've gone through national selections, the pre-parties, and the rehearsals here in Liverpool to make it to that stage tonight. For this episode, we will let this year's acts prepare for their big moment, and instead we'll catch up with a couple of Eurovision legends, including Dathi Freya.
Yeah, I'm very ready. I feel like it's going to feel like a little bit of closure. For that.
Mahmoud and Cornelia Jacobs.
Eurovision was definitely the biggest and the absolutely most fun thing I've ever done.
Plus one of this year's hosts, and we'll let you know what is in store for the big night. As our boss, Martin Osterdahl, would say, we are good to go.
You're listening to the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast.
So this year's Eurovision has just felt so special. The United Kingdom hosting on behalf of Ukraine. The city of Liverpool has embraced this contest in an incredible way. The blue and the yellow of the Ukrainian flag is everywhere across town. In every pub, in every bar, in every shop, it is displayed. There has been a buzz about the city, and that connection between the two countries has run through the shows in the arena and across the whole of Liverpool. Someone front and center to this is Julia Sanina, the Ukrainian host of the contest. Hasn't she been amazing alongside Hannah Waddingham and Alicia Dixon? She is the lead singer of Ukrainian rock band The Hard Kiss. So I went to meet her to see how she has found taking on this amazing role. A big hello to Julia Sanina, the co-host of the Eurovision Song Contest.
Wow, you did so great with Sanina. It's so cool. Yeah, hello everyone. Yeah, that's me.
We are in your dressing room at the minute because it is a busy day. This week is just madness, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I don't know, we've been preparing for this moment for so long. Now here we are in the middle of Eurovision. And it's going so fast. I just want to feel every moment of it, really.
People are loving you, by the way.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, you're doing such a good job. Because you don't do big hosting shows like this, do you? You're a rock star.
Actually, it's my first ever hosting experience, really. But I love stage. I love big stages. I love the audience. So I got used to that. But hosting, it's something new and super interesting for me. And I have lots of joy and fun with Hannah and Alicia. They're perfect.
Are they looking after you? Are they making you laugh?
Really? Yeah. Yeah, indeed. And they help me with some difficult words. For example, I didn't know the word queue.
Oh, like auto queue?
No, like queue, like line.
Oh, a queue of people.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, what? It's so hard to spell. And yeah, they helped me with everything, and they like lift my mood up every time. And they're really so heartwarming people. So is it going?
That's nice to know. Rewinding a little bit, can you remember where you were when you got the call to say you were going to be hosting Eurovision?
I was in the middle of our European tour, and I got the Zoom call from the producer of Eurovision, and I was prepared that it will be answer no.
Really?
Yeah. So it was a surprise for me that they've chosen me because I'm not the professional host, as you said before. But I was so surprised, shocked, and happy at the same moment.
Well, we're happy because you're doing such a good job. Semi-final one, because we're talking to you at the minute before semi-final two. Semi-final one, what was it like to have that crowd energy and to actually go live that night? What was it like?
Well, incredible. The audience of Eurovision truly is the best because they all prepared. They're wearing beautiful costumes, flags everywhere. They are so like electric, energetic, enthusiastic, and they like pick up every word, react, give the applause, and that's really lifts us up on the stage. So I got so many joy, really.
I hope, have you, Alicia and Hannah, been sharing all the things you do? So has Alicia been checking out Hard Kiss videos? Have you been watching like Hannah in Ted Lasso? You know, Alicia used to be a pop star like in the UK.
Yeah, actually in Ukraine, Alicia's song were very popular.
Amazing. Yes. With Misty.
Yes, and her solo song about Does He Wash Up?
Does He Wash Up?
Never Wash Up. Yeah, it was really great hit. About Hannah, I know that she's a superstar. I saw her in Games of Thrones. I know about Ted Lasso. The whole team, my team, they're fans, so I'm just trying to calm them down. Yeah. But I don't watch Ted Lasso on purpose. I don't want to be her fan because she's like so super friendly with me, and I want to be like super I don't want to be her fan. I will watch it after Eurovision. And I sent Alicia and Hannah my new video, first of all, my
good
new song to check. And they told that it was great. So if you haven't seen it, please see the Hard Kiss Festival, our new video, very special video for me.
For people who are finding out about you for the first time that have come to Eurovision, the Hard Kiss is a really established band in Ukraine. You do have a little bit of history with Eurovision because you competed in Vidbir, yeah, didn't you? Was it 2016? Oh, yeah. So you lost to Jamala, so that's all,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. We came second after Jamala, but as you now see, it was for good because she won the Eurovision. After that, we decided not to participate in national selection because I think that it's a good chance for new artists, new musicians from Ukraine to show their songs, to show our culture. And I'm so honored and proud that I'm now the host of the Eurovision. I think that is so cool. For me, it's the best job I ever can had on this stage of Eurovision.
And we also got to see a little bit of the Hard Kiss on Tuesday at the beginning of the show. So we got the flavor of what you're about.
Yeah. People in Ukraine, they asked us a lot to take part in Eurovision, to compete. But I think it's even cooler that we now like the invited interval act, yeah, artists, and they're so great. And people, I read a lot of comments that people are really proud of what we've done on the stage of Eurovision, that the opening number was huge,
was
beautiful and strong.
So many people have, myself included, that interval act in semi-final one between Rebecca Ferguson and Alyosha, the goosebumps, like there was tears. Did you feel that as well?
Yeah, every rehearsal, every time I had these tears, and I was super emotional that when we were live, I was trying even not to watch it because it's heartbreaking for every Ukrainian to see and to feel, even if it was like it was art. It was not like straight, you know, message, but everybody understood what it was about. It was about war. It was about our pain and about support that we get from the whole civilized world and how we're grateful for that. So, yeah, thank you very much.
And it summarized this love between the UK and Ukraine and what this Eurovision is all about.
Yeah.
Because it does feel really special.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yes. And Liverpool is all yellow and blue. Yeah. And here on the backstage, like you do, like everybody else, you even learn Ukrainian words, and everybody say, "Вітаю, привіт, добрий вечір, добрий ранок." And I don't know, lots of Ukrainians work on the backstage and we really feel like we're welcomed here. And this is really like Ukrainian Eurovision that the UK is hosting on behalf of Ukraine. And we really feel that. That's so important to see.
What's also amazing is all of the Ukrainian artists from Eurovision that are going to be here. Yeah. Goé, the legend Verka. Tina Carroll, Kalush as well. Like, it's a big family.
Now, in these hard times, it's always such a joy and pleasure to meet Ukrainians all over the world, because we're everywhere now, unfortunately. And to see our soul somewhere else abroad is so heartwarming. So yeah, we feel like little Ukrainian party in Liverpool. No. Not little, huge. Yeah, huge Ukrainian party.
Can I ask, where were you when Kalush won Eurovision last year? Can you remember where you were?
I don't remember. Last year, I spent almost on the road because of the war, and of course because we got lots of charity concerts all over the world. But I remember that moment when Kalush Orchestra performed, and when they made their statement on the stage of Eurovision, because it was such a painful moment about Azovstal, about Azov, and they speak about it from the stage of Eurovision, it was brave enough. And for us, that moment when the world supported us by voting for Ukraine, it was unbelievable. We were speechless. I think everybody saw the video of Timur Mireshnichenko from the bomb shelter when he was commenting the Eurovision, and his tears, and he's like, Ukraine won the Eurovision. So, of course, we believed that Ukraine could have the chance, and Kyiv could have a chance to host it in peaceful Kyiv, but unfortunately, we see the war is going on. But we do whatever we can do and what we can do all together. And thank you for your support. We really need it and feel it.
No, it just shows the passion, doesn't it? And another good thing about Kalush and what they did, that pink bucket hat is now a symbol around the world.
I saw it everywhere. even this year on the Eurovision audience, it's like everywhere. And I see Verka Serdyuchka's stars everywhere. Yeah. So yeah, it's big. We feel that vibe. Of course, it's so hard to, you know, be on 100% happy. But we are trying.
No, it's amazing. Julia, thank you so much for talking to the podcast, and have an amazing show tonight.
Thank you so much.
Oh, what a legend she is. Thank you so much to Julia Saarinen. Now, on a previous episode of the podcast, you would have heard the 2018 champion, Netta, talking about the grand final interval act. It's called the Liverpool Songbook. Everyone is so excited about this. 6 iconic Eurovision artists performing Liverpool songs. So we've got 2019 winner Duncan Lawrence, Mahmoud, Cornelia Jacobs, the 1993 runner-up for the UK, Sonia, who is from Liverpool, Netta, and this Icelandic icon. It's a big hello and a welcome back to the Eurovision bubble and stage and Liverpool to Iceland's Dati Freyja. Hello.
Hello.
Why are we next to an ice cream van?
I'm doing a tour and I decided to get an ice cream van to promote it.
She's called Hyacinth.
She is. I didn't actually know that. But yes, she is.
So your ice cream van is called Hyacinth. It is decked out in the Icelandic flags, and your wife is serving ice cream today.
Yes, she is.
So how is it going? What flavors have you got on offer?
We got ice cream flavor, and then we have some red sauce with the red flavor. Yep. And then we have sprinkles, and they're in like a lot of colors, so they have lots of flavor.
Sprinkles are definitely sometimes the most important part of the ice cream, I feel.
I think it is. Like, it's not an ice cream if it doesn't have sprinkles.
It adds the personality.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the Eurovision.
It is the Eurovision. How does it feel to be back?
It feels great. Yeah, I'm ready.
You are ready. You're part of the Liverpool Songbook.
Yeah.
When did you get asked to do it? Can you remember?
like 4 months ago, maybe five. I can't really remember when I got asked. I was just very excited. Yeah, I needed to find something to play, and like there's a lot of songs to pick from, so it wasn't very hard.
So how much preparation's been going into the performance? What have you been doing?
I produced a song, and then we've only had one practice here so far, but like there's a lot of preparation that goes into the screens and just the concept of the thing. And then I'm releasing the song also, like the cover, on streaming platforms, like on the same day. So I made a full version of the cover.
We won't spoil the surprise, but I've seen what's in store, and it is very special, and it's very you.
Thank you.
I think people are gonna love it.
I hope so too.
How do you feel about being on the stage with all the other Eurovision icons? Mamu, Duncan, Netta, Sonia, and there's one more, Cornelia.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
Have you met any of them before?
I have met Duncan online, and that's it. I didn't really meet any contestants. Like, when we were competing, we were just stuck in the hotel room, basically.
This is going to be an amazing moment for you, because you get to appear live at a Eurovision Grand Final, finally.
Yeah. I'm very ready. I feel like it's going to feel like a little bit of closure for that.
Well, it's going to be better than being in the hotel room in Rotterdam, isn't it? You know.
Yes, please. Because that was the reason why we did it in 2021, was basically to go and like experience the thing. It wasn't really to compete or something like that. It was just like we actually wanted to be in the arena and like be in the green room when they're saying like who goes to the final, and when they're reading the points and all of that, but it didn't happen.
What do you remember about that night?
It was the fifth night in a row watching Eurovision. So I had seen all the acts a lot, and I had seen also like the performances that are not put out on TV. I can't remember what they're called.
Oh,
like,
yeah. The rehearsals.
So we had watched it pretty often. To be honest, I was a little bit over it. It was, it was weird.
Yeah, kind of trapped in a way. I mean, you did make it your own. Like, you did as much as you could to kind of create a party vibe.
Yeah, it was fun, but it was also very weird.
Weird. It must have been weird as well, because you were doing well. You were getting good points.
Yeah.
You know?
Fourth place.
I know, it was amazing.
It was good.
And it was just funny when you'd got big points, it would go back to you in your hotel room. It's such a, to think about it now is so surreal that even happened.
Yeah, it's very fever dreamy.
Yeah. But like I said, full circle moment, you being on the stage. You've released lots of new music recently, one third of the album.
Yep.
But Thank You, which I love, you debuted that about a year ago, didn't you, I think?
Yeah, that's been, like, I wrote that to be the first song when I play live. So it's been around.
So since Rotterdam, you have had the chance to go on tour a lot, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I went a little bit too far, I think, last year, because like it was 2 years of COVID shows, like consolidated into like another year. So I was away from home for like 130, 40 days that year, which was a little much when I have a baby.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, of course.
But
you were away half the year.
Yeah, but now I've had some time to cool off a little bit, and I'm ready for the next one.
You've had some bonding father time as well.
Yes.
Should we go and see your wife? Where is she? Let's go around.
She's in the ice cream truck, I think. Giving ice cream. I don't know if there's still ice cream or if it's done.
Should we ask?
Yeah. Did you have an ice cream?
No, I didn't, because I got here too late, unfortunately.
Classic.
It's
classic you.
I know, always late.
Yeah.
Late to the party.
From here?
Yes, but yeah, I was just saying, so you've been, by the way, this is Dathi's wife, Annie.
Hello there.
Nice to see you.
You too.
How's it been going this morning? You've been serving the ice creams.
Mm-hmm. It's been going great. We got some sun. That's perfect for this ice cream.
We were talking about the sprinkles. The sprinkles are really important, don't you think?
Yeah, they are. Got some colors. We had some red pinkish sauce on it too, but that ran out quite quickly.
How proud are you of your husband that he's finally going to appear on the grand final stage at Eurovision? Finally.
Finally. It's about time, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud.
Yeah.
Yeah, very proud.
So you've seen, we're teasing the performance. Mm-hmm. You've seen it, obviously. You're involved in it as well. Mm-hmm. What's in store for people tonight when they see it?
Happiness, sprinkles, happiness and joy.
Do you guys fancy taking this back to Berlin, Iceland, do you reckon? Do you reckon this would be a good issue?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to have one at home.
I'm not sure they're going to allow us, but we can see how far we can get.
Ice cream, by the way.
Yeah, the ice cream's gone. Yeah, sorry. Sold out. It was so popular.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's a massive queue as well.
It's been queuing for since we came here.
I was going to ask very quickly about a Eurovision community.
Yeah.
How much love do you feel from it?
So much. I mean, this Eurovision people, they're just like another species, but like so incredibly nice and so intense, but also just a lot of fun.
Can I ask a controversial question? Do you think you would have won in 2020?
Nah. I was fine the way it went.
We were just talking about how surreal it was 2 years ago in the hotel. Like, seems another world, a world away.
Yeah, I was in our hotel room this morning and it felt a bit locked in. I was like, oh, we should get out of there. Like, I don't want to be locked in a hotel room again, so let's go out.
Yeah, and do this. Yeah. What else is on for the rest of the year, Dathi, after Eurovision? Is it more tour?
Yeah, I'm touring twice. Like, two full months of touring, like, all over Europe. Like, six shows in the UK, I think.
Nice.
I'm coming back to Liverpool on December 1st. And, yeah, all over Europe.
Do either of you support Liverpool?
I'm also releasing an album.
Promo the album.
Hi, my name is Dathi Freyr, and I'm releasing an album, and you'd better listen to it on the 25th of August.
Can I say, on behalf of lots of people who are Eurovision fans, it is going to be so good to see you on the stage. It is so good to see you both. I love that you are still involved in Eurovision in these little, like, tiny ways and stuff, and you are such a great addition to the family. So, I'm sorry that I couldn't get an ice cream.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I would have saved one if I knew that you want one.
We have this biscuit, right?
Yeah,
we have a biscuit.
Oh, I'll take a biscuit. A wafer.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
A wafer. A wafer for you.
It's a Dathi Freyr wafer as well. Oh my God, you know your marketing.
Yes. Yeah, that's my name.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He's just one of a kind, isn't he? He's likable, he's funny, he's individual. And like I said to him just then, an amazing addition to the Eurovision family. He will finally get his moment on the Eurovision stage, and I cannot wait. Now, coming up, we've got Mahmoud. But before then, we will go back exactly 1 year to Turin in Italy at the contest last year. I'll be honest, you found the right one at the wrong time. Is one of my favorite Eurovision lyrics of all time. Sung, of course, by Cornelia Jacobs for Sweden in Hold Me Closer. She came fourth. It was an iconic performance. She is a lovely person who is back for her segment at the Liverpool Songbook tonight. Now, you may have read rumours or seen stuff online about the songs, but we at Eurovision want to keep a little bit of the surprise, so we will be teasing the tracks that they are singing. It's over right now, though, to Cornelia.
Oh, so nice to see you again.
You are back.
Back.
And we're back in the delegation bubble where everyone is practicing, getting ready for tonight's show. Does it bring back memories?
A lot. And you can feel the nerve. Like, everyone is like, because it's a competition going on. And I don't have to compete. It's such a luxury. But I still, like you say, I still got kind of the same feeling, because it reminds me so much of last year, because it's been a year, and it's crazy because it feels like yesterday, but also 10 years ago. I don't know how you feel.
I feel the same. It feels like it was yesterday, but I can't believe it was a year ago. Biggest thing to say to you, congratulations, because you won a Swedish Grammy.
Yay! Thank you so much.
Best new artist. How did that feel?
Really crazy. It was kind of, because we were playing at the award, so I was kind of focusing on that. And it wasn't until I, like, one that I really realized how big it was. I was like, oh my God. And I just had, like, I managed to get my parents in to the gala like 2 hours before, because mom was like, please, I want to go, because me and I have my brother in the band too. So she was like, it was a big thing for her, and it was so, I was so happy that they were there when it happened, because it's always those kind of moments you want to celebrate with your closest people.
There's no pressure this year. You're back for the Liverpool Songbook, one of these six amazing artists. When did someone ask you to do it?
It wasn't so, it was like maybe 1.5 months ago.
And was it an instant yes?
Of course, yeah. I was like, I'm coming, before they even said like what they were paying or anything. I was like, I would pay it myself. Yeah, I was so happy.
All I will say is that right now you've done a rehearsal and you're a bit damp.
Is that meaning like wet?
Wet, yeah.
Damp, it sounded like dirty and wet at the same time, but it's probably just because I'm bad at English. Yes, I'm a bit wet, yes.
What was the rehearsal like?
It was the first rehearsal. No, it was really exciting. But since, you already mentioned, it has something to do with water. It's a tricky situation with the technical things like the mics and belt packs and everything. And they've been very worried about that before, and I've been like, no, it's fine, I will do this and this and this, and we will have wire it with tape, and then we will wire it inside, like under my pants, within my like inner thighs. And they're like, oh, but we're so worried. So it's been like kind of more of a like a technical pressure vibe, but the performance felt really good, and it went well with the technical stuff too, so it was kind of a relief.
Is it possible to sum up your year in a sentence? No.
No, it's like if you put your head inside a dry cleaner, like the, no, a tumbling machine.
Yeah, tumble dryer.
Tumble dryer. and be there for a year. Kind of like that, but like all of the feelings at the same time, like so much happiness and great stuff have happened, and also like it's also been very stressful, and I've been having to work a lot with myself and like to find a way to actually, you know, feel good, like have your mental health in a good place, which is very hard with this type of work, actually, because it's so weird. It's such a weird work to be, because nothing is ever the same as yesterday, and it's and you never can like rely on knowing how anything will, which is fine. I love that, but it also it requires you to have kind of routines in your private life, which I've never had.
Really?
I'm very like a non-routine person, and I have noticed that I need that, and that's been kind of a big change. If I'm supposed to be, because I want to be able to work like this, because this is all I want to do, but to be able to feel good, I need more structure in my life, and that's been kind of a big change for me to try to get into that other, yeah, type of living.
When you're here and when we're before shows, you hear everyone singing and doing their like vocal practice. Do you remember doing that?
Yeah, I had this. Celia actually asked me before, because we heard everyone around. She was like, "Are you gonna do any warm up?" I was like, "Nah," because it's I don't know. What we did last year was I had my like vocal like slash mental coach with me, Suzanne, which is amazing, and she kind of like massages the tongue.
She, wow.
She have like a towel, and she goes like, you take out your tongue, and you go in, and it feels like you put like a sword through your throat.
Wow.
And it's, you like, the tears are coming, it hurts so bad. But the crazy thing is it helps so much too, because the tongue is such a big muscle, and you use it so much when you sing, and that's kind of the like the best thing for me to do before. So I just like you massage the tongue like as long as far in as possible, and like underneath, and you like drag it out.
Wow.
And then everything just loosens up, and even I can be quite sore sometimes. Do you say that when you're like,
yeah, yeah?
She does that, and then it's like it goes away.
Last year's top five was just incredible. You know, people still talk about that top five like today. Yeah, if you think about Sam Ryder and you think about Constractor and yourself, you know, you won an award just before the grand final for the best song, basically, at Eurovision. once you were back in Sweden, when did you realize kind of the moment that you'd created such a moment? Does that make sense? That's a really bad question. Do you know what I mean?
I understand the question. I don't know if it has even yet, actually, because it's kind of too big to grasp or get your head around, I feel. But I get my moments when, like, when we were in the car on our way here from Manchester. I got this moment when I, like, accidentally just started. I was just screaming out loud, and Celia was, like, jumping in, and I was like, ah, it's so fun to be back! Because it was, like, kind of, it got to me, like, this is such a luxury that I'm invited back after what we did last year, and it I went back memory lane, I guess, and just felt everything again. But it is hard to sink in,
to process,
and especially when you're the last, like my last year after that has also been very busy, and the focus have more been about like trying to find a balance rather than like thinking and talking so much about every great thing that have happened, because it's been so many great things, and Eurovision was definitely the biggest and the absolutely most fun thing I've ever done. And I remember saying like last year about, what can I do to get back here next year? I without having to do the competition in Sweden, because I don't have the energy for that. But I want to come back, and now I'm back, and it's kind of like that. I just applied that in the universe, and then it came back to me.
You manifested it. That's what people do.
Exactly, it's called manifesting.
Have you ever watched your grand final performance of Hold Me Closer back on YouTube?
No, I haven't.
Never.
No, I want to, but I want to, like, I have spoken to both David and Isa to, like, we should have a night when we watch it, like the whole thing, because I want to watch it as if I was just someone watching the television.
The whole grand final.
Yeah, I would like to see the whole thing.
Rosalind said the same, by the way. She's never watched her performance of Snapback. She's like, it was a moment in time and I'm not ready to do it yet. You had the best view of it in the house because you were doing it.
Yeah, exactly. I was seeing all of you. And actually, I thought about it this morning that I don't really know how it was. I remember that I started crying afterwards because I felt so... I felt very present. The way I know if I did a good job or not is if I remember or not. And if I don't remember, then it's a good sign.
Okay, that's great.
Yes, because then I can remember snippets, but it's not like, it's very dizzy and more like a blur. I wasn't in my head, I was in my body. I don't remember so much of it. So I want to see it.
One day,
yeah.
You've been working on new music. You released an amazing song called Rise, which people should listen to. What is the plan at the moment? What are you up to?
We're actually going to release this...
song that you're singing.
I'm singing tonight. So it's going to be released tonight after the show. But I'm working on the album. And I'm also going on tour now for the summer. And then one other in the spring. And then actually... No, I mean in the fall. And then actually a Europe tour in the spring. So it's a lot going on. And we're finishing up the album during the summer. So the album is coming in October.
The artist that you are singing the song for, why do you love this artist?
Okay, I can say like this. I wanted to be her when I was a kid. Like, but my sister also wanted, and she was bigger, so I never got to, because, you know, bigger sisters decide. Yeah, of course. She is super cool, and this song have been a favorite of mine when it came, and I think so many out there will feel the same, because it was a huge song.
When this song still comes on now in the club, people still go crazy for it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not dated.
No, you can still throw it out there and everyone will scream, yeah.
Cornelia Jacobs, it's so good to have you back at Eurovision. You made such an impression with Hold Me Closer. You made a legendary Eurovision track.
I'm so happy. I'm so excited for tonight.
Woo! Cornelia is one of those people you feel like you've known for ages. She's warm, she's kind, she's so easy to talk to. And I hope there's enough of a tease there into what's in store later. Time to hear now from a few more Turin favourites to tell us what it was like the hour before they went on stage. We're heading to Czechia and to Iceland first.
Hi, it's Sikka from Sister. Me and my sisters are in Spain relaxing, and we're going to watch Eurovision from here. We're super excited. The last hour before our performances was a little different between the semifinals and the final competition. Before the semifinals, we were extremely nervous and the pressure was on. It was an out-of-body experience for us. We were very much in tune. We were like kind of meditating and just getting into our center, being centered. And then before the final competition, it was a little different because we knew what was about to happen because we had the experience from the semifinals, and we were nervous, but we were extremely tired. We were tired and we didn't expect to win, so we knew the pressure wasn't as high as it was in the semifinals. So we were a little bit more relaxed and the nervousness didn't come on until we stepped on stage. That was our experience before we did the hour before Eurovision.
Hey, it's Dami from the band We Are Dami, and we got to represent Czechia last year with our song Lights Off. The hour before we went on stage was just getting on the outfit, being calm, and being with my bandmates, of course. They were so important for me as the singer to keep it together mentally. And then, of course, we had our ritual of hyping each other up alone without the rest of our team. It was just us three. We hugged, we held hands, just kind of were like, all right, this is it. So my advice to you, whoever opens up the final, just know that you have the power to start off the show with a bang. So good luck to you. And I would also say just enjoy it, because it's definitely going to be an unforgettable moment. And just think about the fact that everyone in the arena will be singing your song with you, and that's going to be the best feeling ever. So good luck and much love from Czechia here in Prague. We're going to be watching the whole band, and this time will probably not be as stressed as you guys, but honestly I still get nervous. I've been nervous watching the semis. So good luck, much love. You're going to rock it. Bye.
There you go. Thank you to Sigga from Sister and to Dom from We Are Dommy. Up next is a two-time Eurovision legend. He probably still has the best audience hand clap of all time at the contest. It is Mahmoud, who represented Italy with Soldi in 2019. He came second then and then returned last year with Blanco to sing Brividi, coming seventh. He is also back to open the Liverpool songbook. And as you're about to find out, he's also taken on another iconic role. Welcome back to Eurovision, to the legend that is Mahmoud. How are you?
I'm really, really happy. I'm super proud to be invited this year to, you know, as a host, you know, because I feel a little pressure. But just a little.
You've done it twice before, so you know you can handle this pressure.
Yeah, but this time I'm not a contestant. You know, for the first time I will be a host. So I'll try to do my best, and I'm super happy also because will be my band on stage with me. You know, so you know, I'm really happy about that.
Nice to have your friends around you on stage.
Yeah.
We can't say the song you're singing, but I know what it is. So to tease everybody, why do you like this song and this artist that you are singing?
The pressure that I was talking about is just because the artist, not the wrote this song, it's from here. So, you know, that's the seed, you know. So I hope to do my best because I love the song. And I had the opportunity to also do my own version. No, I produced it with my two producer Marcello Grilli and Francesco Fugazza, and we try also to not like do it too much different from the original version, because you know I think that this song is like a worldwide hymn, and so we choose like to just to keep it quite. The structure to keep it like similar to the original, but with our touch. And so, yeah.
A worldwide hymn written by somebody who's from Liverpool should give people enough clues as to what it is.
Yeah, but I won't say anything more. No.
Is it nice to be back with the other Eurovision legends? You've got Duncan Lawrence, your mate, Annetta, and Cornelia Jacobs.
Oh, Annetta. Can I say that? No, I can say anything. I'll do spoiler of other contestants and they will kill me. No, but I was impressed.
And just interestingly, so there's another singer called Sonia. So she represented the United Kingdom in 1993. She's another one of the six. So in the UK, she's really well known. Yeah. Will you check out, when this is all done, check out her performance on YouTube from 30 years ago?
Oh my God, I'll do it. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's iconic.
Yeah, Sonia.
Sonia, better than...
an Italian name, Sonia.
Yeah, but she's from Liverpool.
She's from Liverpool.
Yeah.
My cousin is named Sonia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Sonia's all around the world.
Yeah, a lot of Sonia.
We're in the UK and obviously May Muller is closing the show for the United Kingdom. It's her home contest. What was it like being at a home contest last year in Turin, now that you've had a year to think about it?
There was quite a really warm, you know, vibe there, because I felt all the love from our Italian fans. And can I say also that being there with Blanco was like a new experience for me, you know, because the first time that I was in Tel Aviv, no, I was just all alone, no, and so doing this experience with another person by your side is a totally different experience, because you share also the anxiety, but also the happiness, no, and can I say that was fun, it was really funny.
Yeah, it was a good experience. Turin was fun.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
What have you been doing in the last year since Turin in terms of new music, and what have you got planned?
So, I didn't drop a completely a song of mine like since 2 years and a half, because the last song that I dropped was Brividi with Blanco. But I'm working a lot in the studio, just trying to find a new way to express myself in the most sincere way. And I'm really lucky because my team, and also my Universal Italy team, is like supporting me, giving me a lot of time, no, to compose, to be in the studio. I'm doing a lot of session around Europe, like in Paris, in London, and in Spain too, no. And it's really inspiring for me because I'm learning a lot of new stuff.
It's like you're doing your own Eurovision tour, France and Spain and UK.
It's amazing because, you know, my first European tour started like from Eurovision stage, no? And so it's quite impressive how my third European tour, we start from here again, you know? And I'm really happy to start with an European tour because I'm an Italian artist, no, but you know, the music that I always listened was just, you know, not just Italian, but it was like American, English. So I feel European, no, and for me, you know, doing concert all around Europe is the most beautiful part of my job, because the contact with people, no? So listening. My song, sung by people with their own accent, is quite amazing. Yeah.
Have you heard the Liverpool accent yet? It's quite distinct.
My God, yeah. It's a little bit, it's distinct also from the classic British one for you.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's the Scouse accent. So it's very, very particular. It's very strong.
Yeah, sometimes it's really difficult to understand every word now for me, but it's a good training also. Yeah, but I love this city, by the way. For me, Liverpool is like a really chill place, no, where to stay. But someone told me yesterday that it is also a really party hard place. No?
It is. There's a lot of parties going on, and especially during Eurovision week. Everything's open until 4 a.m. in the morning and everyone's having fun. And there's such... Well, you know from Turin, there's a buzz in the city. So, yeah, they do party hard.
Oh, my God. I'll wait after that I perform to break myself, for sure.
One of my favorite things I've seen from you in the last year is you posted a picture of you when you were a kid, when you were obsessed with The Little Mermaid. You are, well, tell everyone, what are you doing?
The Sebastian voice, oh my God, yes. Can I say that for me, this is unbelievable, because I remember that, you know, my mom is from Sardinia, and so every summer since I was a kid, we've been every summer, like 3-4 months, in Sardinia, no? And there is a sea because it's an island. And my mom also, when I was a little bit, you know, chubby, no? A chubby kid, I used to take a swimming lesson, no? So I always was in contact with water. And so my one of my favorite Disney movie was The Little Mermaid. And it's amazing because I did an audition, no? Because they called me to do an audition on the Disney team in Italy, no? And I think that they felt this, the Sebastian that was in me, because, you know, I'm really a huge fan of this movie, no? And I love Sebastian. It was amazing. It was an amazing experience.
So you're living a childhood dream by basically playing Sebastian the Crab in one of the most iconic Disney films of all time.
Yeah, not the most iconic for me, yeah.
I'll let you into a secret. When I was a kid in primary school for the talent show, I sang the songs from The Little Mermaid. Wow. And my friend, Lucy, she sat on the side of the stage as Ariel and had like tissue paper as the tail. Like when you're a kid, you just know what is amazing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So clear. So clear. Yeah, you know, I did some kind of stuff like this, like that also in the school before the elementary. Come si chiama la scuola materna? Kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
Oh, non lo sapevo, top. Yeah, at the kindergarten, I was a little bit extra, yeah.
That's why we love Eurovision. All roads lead from being extra as a kid to Eurovision, basically.
Yeah. I think that we are just... There are a lot of little extra kids, no, that are performing in the stage. Me too.
And are you going to be supporting Marco for Italy as well?
Sure, yeah. Marco for sure, guys. Marco has to win. No, because we Italian people is really, you know, family, no? And so, yeah, for sure, I will be very supportive, and I hope he'll do his best, because I know he got a great voice, I think.
The one thing I'll always say about the Italians, about you and Marco, whenever we talk to you, you're so chilled out. Marco is the same, you know, it's just like, we don't have any stress.
Yeah. But, or maybe we just pretend really well. By the way, no, we are chill. Yeah.
Mahmoud, we can't wait to see what you've got in store. Welcome back to Eurovision. Always great to see you. Thank you.
Super happy to see you. Thank you very much for this interview.
So I hope that's enough of a flavour for you. Exciting, right? And big thank you to Mahmoud, Cornelia Jacobs and Dathi Freya. All will be revealed soon. Next, to someone who, in 2017, in Kyiv, was hosting the Eurovision Song Contest. Then a year ago, he was underground in a bunker watching Kalyus win the contest. But now, he is here in Liverpool and is part of the Eurovision family.
Hello, everybody. My name is Timur Miroshnichenko. I'm a Ukrainian commentator. I'm doing this since 2005. And of course, this year I have a lot to do here in Liverpool.
Busy couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, but it's the main weeks in the year.
Does it bring back lots of memories being at Eurovision?
Yeah, sure. By the way, the last time when I was personally at Eurovision was 2016 in Stockholm, then back in 2017 when it was in Kyiv. I've been doing my commentary from Ukraine. And this time, because it's on behalf of Ukraine, of course, I have to feel myself like at home here. And I really do.
It's like, what's the atmosphere been like for you here with everyone embracing Ukraine? It's everywhere. It's here in the venue. It's everywhere in the city.
Yeah, you know, I'm joking that I feel myself like in Odessa. It's the city in south of Ukraine, just on the Black Sea shore, with the same seagulls, with the same smell of sea, with different vibe, which unites in one city, in one place, with so many influences from different cultures, and it's so great. And of course, I can see so many Ukrainian flags, Ukrainian different things like our Easter eggs, pisanki, or that our musical birds, Soloveiki, around the city, and different stuff. It's so great. I feel so comfortable here.
You've interviewed all the acts for TikTok, and you're on the turquoise carpet as well. I don't know about you, but I just get such a warm vibe from everybody this year. Everybody seems to be so pleased to be here.
Yeah. Of course, every year Eurovision is so special for so many people. But I think that this year's edition is the most important in its history, because we all know that it was created 67 years ago to unite countries, unite around peace, around good neighborliness. And today it is important as never before. So I think that everybody who came here to perform or just to be here as a fan, they feel this atmosphere of unity.
Who have you enjoyed interviewing?
All of them, definitely all of them. But I can say that the most funny guy is, of course, Karia from Finland. The biggest chatterbox is Theodor Andrei from Romania.
Yeah, he doesn't stop talking.
Yeah. Of course, it was great to see once again Loreen, to see once again Pasha Parfeni, Monica Linkite, who's back to contest, yeah. All of them are so great, so open-minded, so talented. And of course, I'd like that this year there will be 37 winners, but it's impossible.
I know, it's such a shame. It's such a shame to see people go after the semifinals because they put so much work in. Were you always a big fan of Eurovision before you got involved?
Actually, before I was involved in Eurovision, we just started our way on the contest, because we debuted in 2003. I was something like 16 or 17 that time, and of course maybe I had another interest. But next year, in 2004, when Ruslana won, of course all of Ukrainians became Euro fans.
What do you remember? What's your most vivid memory of 2017? What sticks in your mind?
I can say that it's definitely my greatest experience, when thousands of highly professional people gathering together to create such a great party.
Do you remember people thinking that Salvador, who won for Portugal, was a special moment? Did you feel that when you were hosting?
I remember the moment during the grand final, when the show was ongoing, everybody screamed, everybody shouted, danced, sing, and then Salvador came on stage and everybody just keep silent and they just try to feel every voice, every sound from him. It was something like a magic here on the stage. And right after he finished, from beginning, screaming, shouting, dancing. So I think that literally in that moment, in the grand final, I understood, oh, I think we have a winner.
Yeah, so you felt there was something special going on.
Yeah.
A year ago, you were underground.
Yes, it's really like yesterday, because for us Ukrainians, it's still one day. It's still 24:02. But of course, I remember that night very good, and will never forget it, because it was very special. It was very important to feel that we are not alone. And literally, we like felt a hand of a friend on our shoulder. And this is the biggest win of that year, that we understood that so many people millions of people around the world stand with us.
We saw how emotional you got as well.
Oh, yeah. it was like a volcano, yeah.
The amazing thing about Ukraine, which a lot of people will know, is technically they are the most successful country at Eurovision because they've never not qualified for the final. Why is Ukraine so good at Eurovision?
It's easy to answer, because for us, for Ukrainians, Eurovision is like a national sport. I think that we are all divided into groups, lovers and haters. But even haters know everything about Eurovision. Of course, they will say you that, oh, I never watch the Eurovision. I don't know what's... But if you ask him who won last for Ukraine, and they will definitely say, oh, of course, it's Kalish. Who won first? Ruslana. Do you remember the song which brought Jamal a victory? Of course, 1944. They all know this.
At the grand final, there's a Ukrainian family reunion of Eurovision artists. Literally everyone is back. You've got Jamala and Goe and Verka and Kalyush and Tina Carroll. They're all there, all in the grand final. That's going to be... You're going to get goosebumps for that.
I don't know even what to expect about that moment, because when you have so many greatest Ukrainian artists in one place, it definitely be something extraordinary.
I forgot to mention Verka.
Yes, sure, our main star.
How much do Ukrainians love Verka?
Very much, very much. It's our proud, of course.
It's still, when I speak to people, it's still one of the songs. Like, if I ask people, what's your favorite Eurovision song of all time? Verka Seducha.
Yes, mine too.
Amazing. Timur, have an amazing couple of days, and good to catch up.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Timur, to Mahmoud, to Cornelia Jacobs, to Dathi Freya, and to Julia Sanina on this very special grand final preview episode of the Eurovision Song Contest podcast. On a separate note, did you see who's going to be welcomed back to Eurovision next year? It's Luxembourg. They will be competing for the first time in 31 years. And remember, they are five-time winners of this contest. They have a good track record. They will be welcomed back into the fold, back into the family with open arms. I hope you're as excited about the grand final as we are. Remember, there are loads of episodes of our podcast available right now to fill your Eurovision needs. We've got former winners, we've got in-depth interviews with everyone competing this year, and we've even got a member of ABBA. What more could you want? Thank you for listening, and we will see you soon.